If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Friday's big news was after the Cubs workouts when Addison Russell spoke to the media in Mesa for the first time since his suspension last fall. By the way, you can still hear that entire press conference in Friday's edition of this Cubs Talk podcast. The entire thing is there, unedited, so you can make up your own opinion. Meanwhile, our Kelly Krull and Tony Andracki were there to hear it, and they pick up this edition of the podcast with their reactions to the Russell presser.
Thanks a lot, Luke. Well, Tony, it was a rather uncomfortable, and we knew it was going to be a difficult press conference for Addison Russell, who spoke to the media for the first time since his suspension. And just your initial reactions and what you heard and your thoughts in his comments.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack and a lot to digest. And, you know, in the time immediately following, I just thought about it for a while. And, you know, here as we record this a little bit after, I still feel like there's some digesting to be done. Absolutely. From our perspective. And I think the Cubs feel the same way. I mean, you know, Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, Joe Maddon, among other people, were in the room watching the press conference, you know, over 30 media members in there as well. And so it was a spectacle. And I'm not saying that in any sort of, you know, good way, or it wasn't a show or anything like that. But it was a spectacle because this was a very, very important step. It was, you literally can't go any further in this unless he meets the media, answers and addresses questions, speaks publicly for the first time, and fans can get a chance to see and hear him talk. And they got that today, and I know the reaction from, almost overwhelmingly, it seems pretty negative. My reaction wasn't just negative. I don't think it's black and white. I'm not going to sit here and say that I thought it was terrible, and I did not think it was great either. I think it's somewhere in the gray area in between for me.
And I think when you say that, so in other words, I was going to tell you, or when you said this was a very important step, I was going to follow that up with, did you think he passed that step then, or did he fail that step? And what you're saying is basically neither. He took a pass-fail on this course, essentially, and it was gray. And I think that we can say that because we have context to Addison Russell as the baseball player that we've been interviewing for the last few years. And what you and I know is that is a guy who doesn't handle speaking in front of groups of people or the media or even one-on-one all that well. Honestly, I think he would agree that communicating is not one of his strong suits. Speaking organically, freely, doesn't exactly come easy for him in that setting.
Right.
I don't know what he's like with his friends and his family at home, and that's another thing. Neither one of us know what he's like as a father or a husband behind closed doors, but the guy that we've always dealt with has been accountable, at least in terms of speaking about baseball and playing. And I think that's why we say that this was gray, is that those who are calling it a complete fail are sitting there coming into this with expectations that were probably higher than what he can meet, in the sense that he is not a guy that shows a lot of emotion. And that's what you wanted. I think as a fan, you wanted to see that sincerity. But sincerity can't be coached, and it certainly can't be rehearsed. And that's what we saw. We heard a lot of, or saw a lot of comments about robotic. He sounded robotic. Yes, he did. And that's because for him, that was his safe zone, because if he went off of any of those four or five scripted responses, he was probably going to misstep somewhere, and that he couldn't afford to do. So this was the only direction I think he felt like he could take. Do I think he meant what he said? Sure, I think he wants to be a better person. I would hope everybody out there in the world wants to be a better person. Do I think he wants to grow as a person? Yeah, absolutely, he should want to. And do I think he understands the severity that his life, career, and all of that is in jeopardy? I think it's beginning to really sink in when he knows that he could step into his even his own home field and be booed by more than half of the fans. Yeah, I think that's starting to kick in. But from here, I guess, let me start with, where did you think his level of sincerity was?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest question. And for me, I think context is important. And you provided that, and that's what we're talking about. That the context is, it's not Anthony Rizzo out there who, you know, even though he's not always, you know, super eloquent with how he speaks, and that's not a negative at all. It's just, that's just not kind of his style, but he is expressive. He is, you know, filled with emotion, and you see that. We saw that with the umpire issue last year when he spoke in front of the cameras and stuff. So we can't hold Russell to the same standard we hold everybody else in that sense. So that context is important. I mean, I know I heard several people and saw on Twitter and stuff that people thought he might have had a little smirk as he did this. I don't think it was a smirk. I think it's the same natural thing that he has when he gets nervous, which he always kind of seems a little nervous in front of cameras. He definitely seemed very nervous, but I would have liked to see more than nervousness. I would have liked to see, you know, if not like tears, like true emotion. And it doesn't have to be tears. It doesn't have to be, you know, whatever. But contrition comes about in different ways. I know if it was me up there, I certainly would not have been able to make it through 19 minutes without like crying myself. Absolutely. About something like that. I would not have been able to go up there and be robotic. And I don't know. I can't empathize with that specifically. I can empathize and understand why they don't want him to stray, and they want to make sure, like, at the very least, your actions mean more than your words right now. So at the very least, don't make anything worse with your words. I don't think he made anything worse. But that being said, I would have liked to see a lot more emotion in specific talking about Melissa, who is the victim of this experience. And he talked about her, he talked about his family, but it seems so robotic in that. And the two times that he had emotion were, you know, your question asking why he felt like he deserves a second chance, and then the other time at the very end when it was asked how hard this press conference and preparing for it was for him. And in that last answer, talking about preparing for the press conference, he said that he started breaking down a little bit, but he said that he was actually kind of excited because he got to...
He said, I've been looking forward to this. And I thought, wow, not the words I would have used. But what he meant by that was more like, I think, looking forward to the opportunity to finally have his voice heard and to let people know how he is feeling, how he is handling things, what steps he's taking. But not to interrupt you.
No, and that's exactly my point. I mean, when he
but
showed
those
emotion.
Are the, that's what we're trying to tell people at home. Those are the kinds of things he says, and you're like, wait, what? That's not what you meant to say.
Right.
What he should have said is, you know, I've not been wanting to do this because it's hard. It's very, very hard for me.
There's anxiety with it.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't sound good when he said, I've been looking forward to having my voice heard. Because, they're all still allegations, but Melissa's voice was not heard for so long.
Right.
And allegedly inside their relationship. And all of a sudden, he gets a first chance to talk in 5 months, and he said, for my voice to be heard finally.
Almost a selfish statement.
Yeah, and for him to only show emotion in that was difficult. Contrition, I guess. You can show emotion with contrition, and in the fact that he had these two kind of selfish statements, talking about his potential for a second chance and his opportunity and anxiety with this press conference. That's where he shows emotion, but talking about his past actions, talking about his family, talking about what he wants to do forward, talking about domestic violence and abuse in general and what he hopes to gain from it, talking about what the Cubs have meant for him, he showed almost no emotion in any of that.
That's a good point. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And as a player, I've not ever really seen much emotion from him on the field or in the dugout either. I mean, here and there you'll see him pop up after a really great play and smile, but like I rarely see him come into the dugout and, like, you know, throw a bat or get really – I mean, I see visually the frustrations and, of course, happiness when players succeed and fail day in and day out when I'm sitting right next to them in the clubhouse. But Addison Russell is one of the guys who really, I mean, can come in and honestly be emotionless down there. And you're thinking to yourself, are you in this game mentally? Are you not? And there were times today that I was wondering, like – are you mentally engaged with us right now? Yeah. And I don't know that he was. I think he was just trying to say the right thing and not let a phrase or a word come out that could be taken out of context. And that's exactly what we're saying. The second he went off script to use the word I've been looking – or the phrase I've been looking forward to this press conference, not at all what he meant. Right. But that's kind of the Addison Russell we know.
That's what we have to take him as, is because yes. That's all – we can go on, because it's right. Been just this for 5 months. And I do, like we said, it's not black and white, so it's somewhere in the gray. So somewhere in the gray, I do think he did one thing well overall, and that was he didn't just talk about going to therapy. And that would have bugged the ever-loving crap out of me if he just got up there and said, yeah, you know, I'm going to therapy all the time. Or if somebody asks, how do you do this? Oh, I'm going to therapy. And he mentioned a lot. But he mostly talked about his actions and his present actions and his future actions. And that is truthfully, like, that's the way that he will advance. And because anybody can say, I'm going to therapy, anybody can actually go to therapy. But if you're not doing anything, if you don't have the right mindset, you can go to therapy for 5 hours a day for 7 days a week. You don't improve at all as a person. So I at least appreciate that he wasn't just resting on his laurels of being like, I'm going to a therapist. Mm-hmm. And he didn't sit there and talk about, like, because the thing that I hated most about his statement in late November when the Cubs re-signed him was that I'm going to a therapist, and outside of MLB's sanctioned therapy, I'm going to one. I found my own therapist. He barely talked about that today, which was good, because I don't want to hear that. I don't think anybody else does. You want to hear what the therapy means, what his takeaways are from it, and what it, how it can help moving forward. And I do actually think he talked a little bit about that. And we won't know. We're not in those sessions. The next 5 months, the next year, however long it is, we'll find out. But at the very least, his words in that specific, in terms of therapy, were not hollow.
You mentioned that would have bugged you if that was the only thing. Did it bug you how he handled the questions about domestic violence, and are you saying you've done this? Because in the past, he denied it, and you specifically asked that question. And today, twice over, when asked about it, he said he takes accountability in his actions, but did not go as far as to say or admit what he had done. Does that bug you? Because I see a lot of comments where there are people who wanted to hear him admit what he had done wrong.
Anybody who wants to hear him, you know, say I hit my wife, or I pushed my wife, or I don't even know the exact details, because really only those two know, and I've seen only what Melissa has said and written. But that was never going to happen.
No, and clearly he was coached to say exactly what he said. But I know there's a lot of people out there, for them, that I don't know what kind of weight that holds for them, but that's what they want to hear. And they're not going to get that, like you're saying.
No, and I think it goes back to expectations, which I know you've brought up, you know, a couple of times since the Russell presser. I mean, the expectations, if people truly expected that and they can't, I guess, let this, you know, kind of move forward or see this as any part of anything that's other than like an utter failure, if that was your expectation, then I think that's what needs to be adjusted. And I think, you know, Theo said a couple of days ago in talking about this and talking about Joe Ricketts' emails that words are cheap and actions matter. So they do matter. And he could sit here all he wants. Even if he said that, to me, that wouldn't have changed anything. I thought it would have been interesting. I thought it would have, it would have maybe gone a little ways into showing the contrition that I'm talking about that I would have liked to see. But ultimately, it doesn't mean anything. What matters is what he's doing now and what he's doing in the future, because none of us have time machines. I have regrets for how I've treated people, for what I've done in the past. I'm sure you do too. Everybody does.
Oh, gosh, I'm an angel. I mean, I'm like the second coming of Jesus.
So you and Chris Bryant are the other ones who have never done anything wrong.
No, yeah. I mean, Sorry, that's to make light of obviously a really heavy subject that we continue to talk about here with Addison Russell and speaking to the media for the first time since his suspension. And it's interesting you brought up Theo Epstein. I was thinking today in a way, and this is neither here nor there, but I think Theo having spoken first made this even tougher in a way on Addison Russell because of how eloquent, genuine, conversational, authentic, and articulate Theo Epstein is when navigating this horrific allegation and this issue in general. And because of how great he came across saying what he said, if anyone out there thought Addison Russell was going to come out and be able to convey his thoughts and his words in the same regard, there's no way. Theo Epstein is one of the best in terms of general managers, period. Not to mention then asking a guy who isn't comfortable speaking in front of people to try and do something similar. I almost feel like maybe they should have flipped it, and maybe Russell, I think Russell should have spoken way before now. I do. I think he should have come out much, I guess, long ago. However, if I'd have set this up, I think the Cubs could have heard from him first and fans, and then let Theo be the last voice in a way. And we're still going to hear from coaches and players from here. But really, the one everyone wanted to hear from, Addison Russell. And as you and I have been talking about, I think there's a lot of people that didn't think this went well today, and there's a lot of people maybe like us too that thought, well, this is about what I expected. I was a little surprised there wasn't a written statement that he read first. I was surprised he came in, sat down, and just opened the floor to questions.
If you thought this was robotic, imagine him reading
something. You're exactly right.
But I think to your point about Theo and everything else, if that would have made it too easy on him. And I don't think they're trying to be easy on him. And I know that there are so many people out here that think the Cubs should have just cut bait, for lack of a better term. I know Theo's used that. It seems insensitive right now, but cut ties, cut bait, whatever, with Addison because of this. They're not. And they're not trying to make it easy on him either. They're not just like, oh yeah, you know, Addison, come back in, you know, we'll throw you in spring training and we'll do workouts and it'll be like nothing ever happened. They know that this is serious. That's why, like I said, they were all in the room watching. Yeah. And nobody was up there sitting next to him. He didn't have a lawyer. He didn't have, you know, Joe Maddon, Theo, none of them. They wanted to make this difficult because this is a test. This was another step. You know, Theo and Joe mentioned the other day that they're maybe getting to the top of the third in this, and they still have a long ways to go. They do have a long ways to go, but this was a wall, a brick wall in his way. And if he didn't go around it or climb it over it himself, they were never going to move past it. And they wanted to make it as difficult as possible for him, I believe. And I'm not saying like they were like actively trying to make it tougher. I mean, they wanted to see him squirm, maybe, in the sense that like he has to. He did this. He has to face the music now. He has to face the music alone, and he has to rise above it and continue to move forward as a person, as a member of the organization. And if he's able to do that, then yes, they can continue to the bottom of the third or the top of the fourth inning, whatever. And I think that's part of why. I think because now we'll have, you know, close to 24 hours before we hear from another Cubs player or member, and I think that's how it should be.
I'm curious to hear if Melissa comes out with something now too, and if that resonates with some of the things he said, which is that they have, I'm trying to think of the words he used. It wasn't amicable, but they have a relationship that is growing in the right direction. Isn't that how he put it? Yep. Something about is headed in the right direction, and they are in communication with one another. So I'll be curious to hear if that is how, you know, she sees it, because certainly her and her well-being is in everybody's thoughts and prayers that is around this entire instance, experience, issue. I'm having a hard time with my words. It's been an emotionally draining day, I think, honestly, for everyone who was either covering this, a part of it, listening to it. So I know, I appreciate you guys for listening. I know, please keep in account that for Tony and I, this is tough. I mean, this is a guy we cover every day, and certainly at points in time we liked to see him do well because we thought, you know, from a baseball player standpoint, he worked hard and he earned it. But this is completely different. This is talking about a guy what he does on the outside and away from the field, and we don't know that guy. So this is hard for us too. It's a challenging, difficult subject. Last but certainly not least, Tony, from here, actions will speak louder than any of those words he said today. What do you think the future is for Addison Russell as the Cubs shortstop and as a baseball player at the MLB level?
You know, I think the men in the room, meaning Theo, Joe, Jed, and I think it's up to them now. What ultimately matters, and I'm not trying to discount what fans think because that does matter, but what ultimately matters are what those three and other, you know, members of Cubs front office, ownership, and so on, coaching staff believe. And if this was a step in the right direction in their minds, which I totally see how that's possible, then we're going to keep moving forward. I don't know still what his future is. I don't know if he ever plays another game. I don't know, you know, if he ever shows up to Wrigley Field and he's either booed or whatever, you know, people throw a cup of beer at him. I just don't know how it's going to all be received. I don't know what the future holds. All I know is that I believe in Theo and everything that he said. I really think that this weighs on him above all else, but other people, you know, beneath him in the front office and so on, that they think that this is the right thing to do. And I mean, they've referenced it before, and it is true. Domestic violence abuse experts say that, you know, second chances are typically better for everybody. And I do believe that it is their problem, and this is something that they have to continue to work at as well. And I actually believe that the Cubs deserve to be commended for that, for not just running away from this, for embracing a very, very, very difficult subject and continuing to embrace it, and making these standards almost impossibly high for Addison Russell. But that's how they should be. And I think they've done so many things well. And so I could see him playing another game again. But the next 2.5 months, I guess, will really, really answer that question.
Was it a tougher decision for the Cubs to stick with him and do what they've done versus, like, as we know, other examples that are out there? And most recently, you think of Kareem Hunt in the NFL, of course, granted, and there was video evidence of that. So it's different. This is apples to oranges in a way, but they cut him loose right away, you know, and we can sit here and say the Cubs could have definitely done that. It probably would have been a more from a fan perspective, I think maybe they would have liked to have seen that more so than what they're watching now. But I think to myself, even if they decide to never, if Addison Russell never plays another game for the Cubs, the organization as a whole can look at this and say, this is what we did, this is what we tried to do, this is the path we tried to set him on. We are now deciding that this is not a relationship we're going to continue. Did they change the way people are going to view these instances in the future? I don't know. I mean, this is just, there's so much to this.
I think there is, because I think it would have been so easy for them to do what the Chiefs did, as you mentioned. And I know that they're not the same, but, you know, right now the Chiefs aren't continuing to have to live this, and they didn't have to do that all throughout the playoffs. I mean, I know it was brought up at various points, but they cut ties with him, and then it was just like, you know, kind of move on. We have our own playoff games and everything to, you know, Patrick Mahomes, all this other stuff. The Cubs haven't had that. They have been living this. Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber, Anthony Rizzo, like, all of these guys have to answer for him all the time, for Addison Russell. Joe Maddon and Theo Epstein have been getting it all the time, multiple times since this happened. This is not an easy way. They did not take the easy way out. But I do think that this – part of why I think this is right is because every single day that this happens, that somebody brings it up, it's more of a conversation about domestic violence and abuse and how to move things in the right direction. So if this ultimately doesn't work out with Addison Russell, if he never plays a game again, I think it's at least a noble effort from the Cubs to continue to make this a very important and non-baseball topic of life relevant. And it has been. I mean, it's relevant. It's been relevant for 5 months now, and the Cubs are making sure that that's not going away. They're not sweeping it under the rug. They're not just moving on. They're doing the hardest thing, but I believe that it actually could be the right thing.
Okay, well, certainly from here, the first full squad workout is Monday. Am I right about that? I think so. Is Monday. Addison Russell will be here at camp with the other guys, and they will try to set this distraction aside. It'll be up to Addison Russell moving forward how he improves himself as a person. And like Tony said, really, it'll come down to what Theo, Jed, and Joe kind of decide for his future. And the rest of the guys are going to go to work here and get spring training officially underway. I am excited at least to see the whole squad here. I mean, yeah. If there's some things to be looking forward to after really – like I said, emotionally draining, tough, difficult day here. I am looking forward to seeing the rest of the guys show up at camp and all of us being able to talk about
baseball.
So anyhow, that'll do it from Mesa, Arizona, where the Cubs and spring training pitchers and catchers have been working out here the last couple days. We will send it back to you in the studio, Luke.
Thanks, Kelly and Tony, and thank you for listening to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Remember, we're going to have all our new Cubs content on the My Teams app and NBCSportsChicago.com as it happens out in Arizona. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.